and we'll be so busy with so many things about the holiday. But it's Thanksgiving season. You know, if you and I were to travel to go back east, we would go to some places that they call buffets, or buffets here, smorgasbords back there. You would go to some places that would just absolutely amaze you. One of the places that is very well known is Ryan's Steakhouse. How many of you have ever eaten at a Ryan's Steakhouse? Okay, so some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a Ryan's Steakhouse. This is sort of a sampling of what a Ryan's Steakhouse will look like. You know, they have all this food, and in fact, you can eat so much food there that if you're not careful, you can sin. You know, I mean, you can just eat. You eat so much, and you're so filled that when you get done eating, and you head your way home, you drive past restaurants along the way, but you really don't have any desire to stop any of those restaurants because you are so totally satisfied. In fact, to the place where you probably don't even want to eat for another day or two. It just seems to be the case, and that's the way it is. And this week, that's how we're going to be, aren't we? Thanksgiving week. You know, we're gonna find that, you know, we eat this big meal on Thanksgiving Day. And by the way, you know, there's places where you can get meals, even if you don't eat with your family. You can eat meals in different places. I noticed yesterday I was driving by a place and I saw Thanksgiving dinner today. And so, you know, there are places all over where you could get Thanksgiving meal, where you could sit down and eat and be satisfied. And then afterwards, the traditional thing for most places where you either in your home or maybe at a particular function, people take time to just say thank you. Thank you to people. Thank you to God. Thank you to the things that God has done for them. And I think that's probably one of the most enjoyable times when you can sit down and give thanks to God. There's a certain satisfaction about it when you eat a meal. And while Thanksgiving may not necessarily be a Christian holiday, being grateful is being a Christian. And every one of us have much for which we should be grateful. When you consider how great God is, when you consider all the things that God has done for us, we have much to be grateful for. But the strange thing is, we often aren't as grateful as we should be. Strange thing is, we always want more. It seems like we're never satisfied. But there are some people who are struggling for spiritual satisfaction. They want something to give them peace, something to give them contentment. They fill their lives, unfortunately, with sin. They'll think that, you know, that's going to bring them satisfaction. But, you know, I found out that when you fill your life with sin, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like drinking a soda. You might be thirsty, and you might drink a lot of soda, but it never satisfies the need for the water. And the Bible says that Jesus is the water of life. And I wonder how many people are trying to do that today. They're trying to fill their life with so many things, thinking that that's going to bring satisfaction. And sin does that. Sin never leaves you content. It never leaves you satisfied. Maybe some people try, you know, another relationship, another marriage. Maybe another hobby. Maybe another job. Maybe another house. Maybe another car. Maybe another situation. But that never satisfies. Maybe you might be here today as a teenager, and you may be trying to look for some acceptance, and so you find yourself struggling, not content, not really satisfied with the way things are in your life. Sometimes there are singles who are like that. You know, they think that if they could find just the right person, that would fill that loneliness in their life. I read about New York City. It's one of the largest cities, as most of you know, in the United States. It's our biggest city. It's considered the city that's the crossroads of the world. And in that city, with all of those people, it is suggested that in New York City, that there are more lonely people per square inch than any place else in the United States. How do you explain that? How is it that there's so many people in such a large city but loneliness abounds so great. How is it like that? Why is it like that? Perhaps maybe they've tried to find fulfillment in something else other than Christ. There are married people today, and many of them, they're looking for that place in which they can get happiness and contentment. But the strange thing is, they're often like the children of Israel. The more they get, the more they want, and they find themselves complaining about what God has given to them. I read, for example, in Exodus chapter 16, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and we did eat the full, for ye have brought us nothing into the wilderness but to kill this whole assembly with hunger." What is it? Why are we like that? What is it about our human nature that we just want more and more, and we never satisfied with what God has given to us? Today, I want us to have the understanding that satisfaction in the Savior gives us satisfaction with the Savior. In other words, really, the satisfaction that you're looking for and that I'm looking for is not found in this world. It's not found in the sin of this world. It's not found in the pleasures of this world. It is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you this. Are you satisfied with Him? Are you satisfied with Him? Or do you find yourself that, you know, you're not really satisfied with who He is and what He's done in your life, and you wish things were different, and you wish God would just kind of change things up in your life? The Bible says that we need to understand that when we have satisfaction, our satisfaction is with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. One person told me this. He said, you know, if I could just get my satisfaction fulfilled, I would be a happy person. The problem with that individual is he was looking for it in all the wrong places. And sometimes I find that it seems there are people like that. They're looking for satisfaction, but they're going to all the wrong places. And I want to ask you this. How satisfied are you with God? How satisfied are you with Him? You know, there's a group of people that of course do not understand what I'm talking to you about. They kind of failed to understand that. And God had to send a prophet to tell them. Take your Bibles and turn to Joel chapter 2, and I want you to notice what God had to do to get their attention. The Bible makes it very clear that God wants us to be satisfied with Him. Now, consider that. If you're a married person, you could understand that. Because married people often, they want, what they want is they want their spouses to love them, to be satisfied with them, to accept them for the way they are, and to accept them as they are. But we find in Joel that Israel, while they had everything and every reason to be satisfied with God, they chose to substitute what God has given with something else. And God had to send judgment. In fact, in chapter 1, you'll read about the fact that God had brought the locusts to come in and eat up all the crops. And when He ate up all the crops, the locusts, as they annihilated the land, that affected not only the food, the vegetation, that affected the animal life. I mean, everything was thrown absolutely in chaos. And the nation was under great judgment of God. But now God is going to restore the land back. And thank God, God's in the restoration business. And I want to tell you this morning. If you found yourself drifting away from God, you find yourself perhaps maybe trying to fill the satisfaction with something else, here's what God says: I'm in the restoration business. I want to restore. I want to bring back. And so in chapter 2 and verse 21, the prophet begins to tell them about how that God is going to bring restoration to them. And look, if you would, at verse 21. It says, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things." God will do great things. "Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed." I want to call your attention to verse number 27, where he speaks of the fact that, I'm sorry, verse 26, where he speaks of the fact that we're going to be satisfied. My message this morning is Thanksgiving satisfaction. Because I believe that every one of us ought to be grateful to God and be satisfied with God. But I'll tell you this, the devil's going to bring a lot of things along the way to try to get us to be distracted from that. The devil's going to bring all kinds of things to come along the way. And so what he's speaking here about, this satisfaction, is he's speaking to us about the fact that how that God fills every one of our needs. The idea of satisfaction means that God is completely everything that you need. Kind of like the buffet. That's what the word satisfaction is. It's when you have this insatiable, maybe this appetite that's got to be filled, and you fill it, and you eat, and you're satisfied, and you don't want anything else. God says, "That's what I am to you. That's what I want to be for you. I want to be your satisfaction. I want to fill you that way." And he's telling the nation who have turned their back away from God, who have gone to some other way, some other pathway, to fill their life with substitutes for the Savior, say, "Now it's time you come back. Now it's time that you fill your life with me and let me be your satisfaction." And then he goes on in the passage to give us some ways in which he wants us to be satisfied. And so I think it would do us good if we understand that our human nature so longs and struggles for satisfaction. And Satan likes to bring these substitutes to distract us. Many people, unfortunately, are more concerned with what someone says about them on Facebook or Instagram than what God thinks of them. It's strange, weird world we live in when God says, "I'm everything you need," and we think we need something other than God. But I want to give you three areas and of satisfaction that God speaks of. Every one of these are very pertinent and important for all of us. Three areas in which we can be satisfied with God. Number one is the work of God. How satisfied are you of the work of God in your life? How about what God has done for you? If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, every one of us must be grateful for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. We must realize that Jesus Christ came, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again, that he did that for you and for me. And if nobody else but you were the one that trusted him, he would have done it. How satisfied are you with the work of God in your life? How about when God does things in your life to mold you and shape you into what he wants you to be? How about when God takes you and puts you into the center of his will, and it begins to work in your life and begins to mold you, how satisfied are you with the work of God in your life? I mean, really, when God does something maybe that you're not comfortable with, or maybe you might be upset with, you know, that it might just kind of throw you off track altogether, how is it that you respond to that? You see, for God's people, we should be satisfied with the work of God in our life. The Bible says here that God is going to restore the nation. He sends the rain. By the way, I don't know if we're going to have a good rainy season, but I certainly hope so. But God can bring back all this. You know, I heard right before I left, they said, you know, if we had like tremendous rainfall this year, we will never be able to get out of this drought. It'll take 5 years of constant rainfall to get us out of this drought. You know what? They don't know the same God that we know. God can take us out of that drought. God can restore our state back, our water back. God can do that. By the way, God can do the same in your life. The work of God in our life is God working personally. As we open the Bibles, we read the Word of God, and maybe we are hurt, or maybe we have wandered away, or maybe we have put substitutes in our life. And here's what God says, let me restore you. Let my work in your life. Now, it doesn't erase some of the consequences that come with that. You know, we have to keep in mind that sin and the choice we make is sin, that those choices always bring consequences to our life. And those consequences aren't erased. Time can't be erased because we made wrong choices. But thank God that God can work in our life and restore us back to where He wants us to be. And I'm glad of that today. How satisfied are you with the work of God in your life? As God's working in your life, and I trust that He is, I hope that God is working in such a way that each day you can say, you know, as you open the Word of God, man, thank God that He works in my life. But then there's another. How satisfied are we with the gifts of God? I think about the gifts of God. There's a lot of things that God does for me. His gifts, His mercies are new every morning. Hey, just the fact that I got up this morning and was able to walk out of the house, that's a blessing. God's gifts are very special. God's gifts to you are special. And I was thinking about some person in here might be gifted in one area, another person might be gifted in another area, and some people have three gifts, and some have five, and some have maybe multiple gifts. But the fact is, are you thankful and satisfied with the gifts that God has given to you? You know what some people do? They aren't satisfied because they want what somebody else has, and they don't want to use the gifts God's given to them. What a mistake that is. What a danger it is to say, God, you know, I don't want that. I want this over here. And God says, oh, no, this is what I gave you. This is what my work is in your life. How satisfied are we are the gifts of God? I think of another gift that we have. That's the gift of prayer. You realize that prayer is a gift that God gives to us? I'm so glad that, you see, the truth of the matter is the only way that we can come into the presence of God is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can ever approach Him. We cannot approach Him by being a good person, by trying to be, follow the law. We just, being in Israel, one thing you're aware of is the Orthodox Jews, and our guide was telling us, and I was aware of this before, but it became more real to me, that these Orthodox Jews, many of them, they spend 13, 14 hours a day down at the temple. And we asked him, we said, well, are you like a full-time Jew? How does that work? You know, are you full-time at that? Here's what it says. No, their wives work so they can do that. In other words, their whole life is all about trying to please God, and they do all of these things to please God so they can come into God's presence. And by the way, we don't need all of these things. Jesus did all of these things for us. The fact is, in Romans chapter 9, the Bible says Jesus is the end of the law. That now we have grace through Jesus Christ. That now we can come into His presence, and we don't have to go through all of these rituals and all of these things and do all this stuff to try to make God happy. We can come into the presence through Jesus Christ. That's a gift. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How satisfied are we with that gift? How satisfied are we with what God has done for us? And God is asking the nation here through the mighty prophet as he's preaching the word of God, how satisfied are you with my work in your life? And how satisfied are you with what I want to do in your life? When we're satisfied, that means we're completely filled with who God is and what God can do in my life. And then thirdly, we need to be satisfied with our relationship with God. Our relationship with God. Now, I can know that could be misinterpreted. Because if you look at verse number 27, it says, "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed." Now, what we can understand is that number one is that the satisfaction is that we're satisfied with who God is in our life. That's what it means. I'm not so sure we could ever be so satisfied with how our relationship is, because the fact is we all need to grow in our walk with the Lord every day. But we do need to be satisfied with the person of God and His presence in our life every day. See, I am thankful for what God does in my life every day. And that's what God says to the nation. Be thankful. He says here, if you notice, he says, I am in your midst. I am the Lord your God. I am your God. There is no other God. You don't need any substitute. You don't need anything else. I am everything to you. By the way, that should give us great satisfaction. You see, with God, the Bible says he's our pleasures forevermore. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalm 16, David says this, and thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And that word means satisfaction. That God's my satisfaction. At thy right hand are pleasures evermore. You see, we have a reason to have satisfaction and to be thankful for what God has done. What an amazing God we serve. Here's my question this morning to you. Are you looking for satisfaction? The world's not going to give it to you. Are you looking for satisfaction? You're not going to find it out here in sin of the world, in the pleasures of the world. You're not going to find it there. It all begins with Jesus Christ. Begins the moment that we trust Him as our Savior, that now we have that satisfaction, that true satisfaction that God offers to every one of us. And once we understand that, then gratitude flows from our heart. A right relationship with God will give us the satisfaction to know that God's presence is in my life, that God is in the rightful place in my life, that I'm walking with Him. That gives me true satisfaction. But whenever I start substituting things or sins or other philosophies in my life, in the place of Jesus Christ, I'm going to become very dissatisfied. What about you today? Where are you? Are you satisfied with Him, or have you put some of those things and substitutes in your life? You know, here's what God says, it's time to come home. It's time to come home, and I know that I read, I think recently, that people travel, the travel season right now is at its peak, and I think Tuesday or Wednesday of this week is one of the highest travel seasons of the year. people try to go see their family and be ready for the Thanksgiving holiday. But here's my question. God says to you, why don't you travel home today and be with him? Come back to him. What steps is it that God wants you to take? Now, you know, the Bible says that maybe your first step is to receive Jesus Christ. The Bible says we can't go to heaven on our own. We have to have Jesus. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Secondly, to make the next growth step in your life. You know, one of the ways in which I find that if we're going to overcome these things in our life, these substitutes the devil brings our way, is that we become proactive in our Christian walk. That we decide that, you know what, I don't need that. What I need is more of God, and I'm going to make the steps that I need to make. Maybe for some of us, it might be baptism. Maybe for some of you, it might be church membership. Maybe for some of you, it might be time that you just make some commitments in being involved in giving back. Whatever it could be, that you just say, you know what, I'm just going to get involved. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And then thirdly, it may be the time to restore your relationship to him again. I may be speaking to someone here this morning. You know your relationship isn't right with God. I mean, you know, you can try to hide it from me or your spouse, but God knows. God knows who you are and where you are. And God's saying to you, I want to restore you. I can restore you. Thank God that God is the God of the second chance. Amen. If you're here today, how satisfied are you with the Savior? Heavenly Father,